Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, blessed to be here with you as we begin these first few days of the holy season of Lent. I'm joined by my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. We're both so happy to have you along with us today as we talk politics. A lot of people cringe when they hear that word, and we may be tempted to think that politics and religion simply don't mix. And given the rancor and the anger that is out there in the political realm right now, especially in regards to the upcoming presidential election, we might be tempted to just wave it all off and retreat into our own little castles. But is that the right and just thing to do? We're going to discuss that a bit today, and we'll especially dig into one of the most important topics for this election, and that is the extremism on abortion that is revealing itself within the Democratic Party. But before we get started, Rhonda is going to start us off in prayer.
Now, this prayer comes to us from the USCCB's website. Lord God, as the election approaches, we seek to better understand the issues and concerns that confront our city, state, and our country, and how the gospel compels us to respond as faithful citizens in our community. We ask for eyes that are free from blindness so that we might see each other as brothers and sisters, one and equal in dignity, especially those who are victims of abuse and violence, deceit and poverty. We ask for ears that will hear the cries of children unborn and those abandoned, men and women oppressed because of race, creed, or religion. We ask for minds and hearts that are open to hearing the voice of leaders who will bring us closer to your kingdom. We pray for discernment so that we may choose leaders who hear your word, live your love, and keep in the ways of your truth as they follow in the steps of Jesus and his apostles and guide us to your kingdom of justice and peace. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News.
This past Tuesday, Senate Democrats blocked two pro-life bills that would have prohibited late-term abortions and required medical care for babies who survive an abortion. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which failed by a vote of 53-44, would have banned abortions after 20 weeks, the time when it is known that an unborn child can feel pain. Abortion supporters argued that late-term abortions are rare and performed mostly for the life of the mother or for fetal health problems. However, their own research clearly shows that these procedures are primarily performed on healthy women carrying healthy babies. Within a few miles of U.S. Senate chambers, four abortion clinics routinely perform late-term abortions. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which failed 56-41, would have required proper medical care for infants who survive abortion and set criminal penalties for medical personnel who violate the law. Even though both bills had majority support, they lacked the 60 votes needed to block a Democratic filibuster to advance the bills. Senator Ted Cruz criticized Senate Democrats for opposing the bill, saying, "Today, Democrats had an opportunity to stand on the side of science, to stand on the side of reason, and to stand on the side of precious life. Instead, Democrats stood on the side of barbarity and cruelty, continuing their tradition of neglecting moral responsibility in the name of their radicalized pro-abortion agenda." Democratic presidential candidate frontrunner Bernie Sanders is touting his Medicare for All plan, which would force American taxpayers to fund abortions and could even require Catholic and other religious health care providers to kill unborn children. Sanders' proposal would end private health insurance, forcing everyone onto a government-run plan, a program which would require the coverage of comprehensive reproductive, maternity, and newborn care. Last May, Sanders said that abortion is health care, and that when we pass Medicare for All, we will be guaranteeing a woman's right to control her own body by covering comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion. Sanders has consistently called abortion a constitutional right and has thrown his full support behind abortion up to the moment of birth, as well as for passive infanticide. And the 2020 Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign is underway in over 500 cities around the world, including right here in Bloomington. Reports are already coming in of mothers choosing life after seeing prayer volunteers outside of abortion centers. Lots of help is needed this weekend to cover the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in prayer for at least 12 hours every day. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to sign up. And finally, 24 unborn babies were intentionally killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, bringing the total number of children killed by abortion this year in Bloomington to 177. Sidewalk advocates and prayer warriors brave the cold temps and wind to offer love, help, and hope to the women going in. Several women from Kentucky, one young lady from Illinois, and many women from southwestern Indiana were among those who came to 421 South College Avenue to have their unborn children killed. Please pray and fast for these mothers that their hearts might be drawn to repentance and to seek spiritual healing. And that's your weekly In the News. We need to participate for the common good. Sometimes we hear a good Catholic is one who is not interested in politics. This is not true. Good Catholics immerse themselves in politics by offering the best of themselves so that the leader can govern. Those are the words of Pope Francis back on September 16th in 2013. Our Holy Father has on numerous occasions called the faithful to embrace their political responsibility, not only for the temporal well-being of people, but more importantly, because souls are at stake.
Unfortunately, we are not seeing a whole lot of civil and respectful public dialogue, and that is really such a shame. But that doesn't mean that we have to go with the flow of everyone else around us. We can, within our own circle of family, friends, and coworkers, do our part to advance meaningful and reverential conversations in order to help others arrive at the truth and build up a culture of life. The well-being of our country and of our church depends upon this. And adding to your quote, Monica, back in 2015 on the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, Pope Francis exhorted Catholics to be active in politics, no matter how dirty, frustrating, and fraught with failure it may be. He asked, given today's throwaway culture and so many other problems unfolding in the world, do I, as a Catholic, watch from my balcony? No, you cannot watch from the balcony. Get right in there. The pontiff was then quick to mention that the church is not a political party herself, but simply that Christians have a duty to work for the common good in a more just society in the world of politics. Pope Francis said it is one of the highest forms of charity to get involved. It isn't easy, especially when there is so much corruption, he said. It's a kind of martyrdom where one carries the cross of the ideal of the common good every day without letting yourself be corrupted or discouraged in the midst of failure. It's hard to be in the middle of it all without getting your hands or heart a little dirty. Ask the Lord to help you not to sin, but if you get your hands dirty, ask for forgiveness and keep going. Don't get discouraged.
He's given us really good perspective here.
Yeah, he sure has.
Yeah, and during Lent, we should be offering up our prayers and penances in part for our elected leaders, that they be virtuous and that we accomplish well our small part in the political process. Well, back in January, the chairman of the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops Committee for Pro-Life Activities, Archbishop Joseph Naumann of Kansas City, Kansas, told Catholic News Service that Pope Francis agreed with the U.S. bishops that the protection of the unborn must be a preeminent priority for government leaders and in how we vote. 15 bishops from the Midwest had gone to the Vatican for their ad limina visit, Archbishop Naumann being among them. The Archbishop said that Pope Francis was truly stunned when they told him that an estimated 61 million abortions have taken place here in the United States since Roe v. Wade. And Bishop Sean McKnight of Jefferson City, Missouri, was with Archbishop Naumann. He stated that Pope Francis asked a very meaningful question. Do we always want to simply eliminate those who are inconvenient? And Bishop McKnight's response was, unfortunately, that has become part of our culture in the United States. The practice, the habit, if you will, of just eliminating the uncomfortable and the unwanted as the solution. And we're called to be better than that, he said. We as a country are better than that. Bishop McKnight also went on to explain that the word preeminent is carefully chosen. When the bishops or the Holy Father say that abortion is the preeminent issue, they don't mean it's the only issue, but it does mean that the right to life is at the core of our beliefs, and it's the most essential right. Without it, all other rights are meaningless. And then Archbishop Robert J. Carlson of St. Louis, Missouri, said that while the Pope talked about abortion as a preeminent issue, at the same time he said there's another significant issue, and that is transgenderism. Archbishop Carlson said that the Pope fears that we are trying to make all human beings the same. Archbishop Carlson said that the Pope stated that the beliefs of those who promote transgenderism fly in the face of what Pope St. John Paul II talked about complementarity, and that it flies in the face of the dignity of the woman and the dignity of the man.
Well, all of that makes it pretty clear that we are to base how we cast our votes heavily on where a candidate stands on the issue of abortion. And really, the candidates themselves are making the choices pretty easy for us as they court views on abortion that are extreme. 25 to 30 years ago, Bill and Hillary Clinton famously said that abortion is a fundamental constitutional right that should be safe, legal, and rare. Early last year, beginning with the passage of New York's Reproductive Health Act, which allows for abortions right up to the moment of birth, we saw pro-abortion politicians trying to outdo one another in their attempt to move from a moderate position on the killing of the unborn to an all-in position, again, even up to the point when the mother is about to give birth. Many Democrats are also declaring that there is no room in their party for those who are anti-abortion. You either toe their extreme line or they are not interested in you. To the Democratic Party, it's all about abortion, and unless you support a woman's so-called right to choose, you are not welcome. It's a non-negotiable issue for them, and that should tell us a lot right there.
Absolutely. I remember one time listening to Father Frank Pavone as he described how the culture of death would eventually collapse in upon itself. He said the devil is very greedy. He always wants more and more until he gets to the point where he bites off something that's so big that he chokes on it. Father Pavone said that's what will inevitably happen with the abortion industry. And we're seeing this play out. Promoting and allowing for abortion for any reason throughout the entire 9 months of pregnancy is a position that makes most Americans squirm. Many are those who consider themselves pro-choice, but they don't want to go this far. The Democratic Party jettisons its more moderate stance on abortion at its own peril and demise. Not only that, their party platform now calls for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment. In other words, not only should the killing of the unborn be legal up until the moment of birth, but American taxpayers should foot the bill for it, so say Democratic leaders. That's fanatical, and I just don't see any way that a Catholic could say that there are proportionate reasons to vote for any candidate who supports such measures.
Well, Democratic lawmakers and candidates try hard to soften their extreme positions because they know most Americans would not buy it otherwise. One such example concerns the gruesome issue of late-term abortions. Those who support this crime like to repeat over and over that they are rare and that they are only performed for reasons based on the life or health of the mother or because the fetus has some anomaly that makes it incompatible with life. These are simply falsehoods designed to suppress consciences. In 2015, the Center for Disease Control reported that 1.3% of abortions were committed at 21 weeks gestation or later. Now, while that sounds very small, this equates to 8,300 preborn children killed every single year. The Guttmacher Institute goes even further, and according to their data, more than 12,000 abortions occur annually after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
And those figures don't sound rare to me, Rhonda. They make me sick to my stomach, in fact. Let's do some quick contrast here. The number of children who die annually in car accidents is about 4,000. Those children who are killed by gun violence, around 3,000. And those who die of childhood cancers each year, about 2,000. Add up those numbers and we don't even reach the 12,000 viable unborn children who are killed by abortion every year in this country. Late-term abortions are not rare, period.
Well, former South Bend mayor and Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg was on the campaign trail making the claim that late-term abortions are only done in rare circumstances when the baby is disabled. Buttigieg, during his various town hall meetings and television appearances, tried to greatly downplay the horrifying reality of killing a viable child. During one such interview with a show called The View, Buttigieg tried to convince everyone that a mother only terminates her late pregnancy because there is something very wrong with the child, and it's really the humane thing to do. He said, "Think about the situation. If this is a late-term situation, then by definition, it's one where a woman was expecting to carry the pregnancy to term. Then she gets the most, perhaps, devastating news of her life. We're talking about families that may have picked out a name, maybe assembling a crib, and they learn something excruciating and are faced with this terrible choice. I don't know what to tell them morally about what they should do. I just know that I trust her, and her decision, medically or morally, isn't going to be any better because the government is commanding her to do it." He really tries to tug at the heartstrings, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it's a monstrous lie. The media loves to report on gut-wrenching stories of mothers who really did want their unborn child, but after they were told that something was seriously wrong, they made the difficult choice to terminate the pregnancy out of love for the child and to prevent its suffering. They are so very careful to choose words that evoke sympathy and rationality. And this is how the unthinkable and ghastly act of committing a late-term abortion is condoned.
Well, all you have to do is to dig just a bit below the surface, and you'll find that abortion advocates and lobbyists readily admit that most late-term abortions are done on healthy mothers carrying healthy babies. Let's go again to data from the Guttmacher Institute. They list five main reasons that women seek later abortions. The first, the woman was raising other children alone and decided this was just too much for her. Number two, she became depressed or started using drugs. Thirdly, she began to have disputes with her male partner or experienced domestic violence. Number four, she was conflicted about whether or not to have an abortion, and then she ran into access problems. And finally, she was very young. And how about this from late-term abortionist Martin Haskell, who was known for using and promoting the partial birth abortion procedure? He said, "I'll be quite frank. Most of my abortions are elective in that 20 to 24-week range. In my particular case, probably 20% are for genetic reasons. The other 80% are purely for elective reasons."
Well, in a past Pro-Life to the Max show entitled Planned Parenthood on the March, we talked about how there is this growing trend for Planned Parenthood to open up mega abortion centers that expand their abilities to do later term abortions. And this isn't just with Planned Parenthood. It's an industry-wide trend. Late-term abortions are lucrative. Right now, there are 143 abortion centers that will perform abortions at 20 weeks or more, and that's very disturbing.
Before we go on here, let's just say a few words that really should go without saying. But unfortunately, when the topic of politics comes up, people do get passionate, and everyone has strong feelings about their favorite political party. It does get messy, as Pope Francis himself has said. But every Catholic and Christian must take a step back and take an honest look at the gravity of the evil of abortion, the complete innocence of the unborn child, and also the scale of the slaughter. It's the number one cause of death in our country, with nothing else even coming close. Objectively speaking, abortion is the preeminent threat to the common good of our nation. Just look at all the rotten fruit it is bearing. It deserves top priority when voting. Now, I'm sorry to say, but there is only one main party who embraces abortion with open arms. Again, even lauding the murder of innocent, viable, unborn children. who wants to force every American taxpayer to pay for this, and who wants to support and expand abortion overseas with American taxpayer money. That's the Democratic Party. Democrats who refuse to kowtow to this evil are extremely rare and are shunned by their own party.
And when Pete Buttigieg was confronted at a town hall meeting in Iowa by a proud pro-life Democrat asking whether he wanted the support of pro-life Democratic voters, Buttigieg said he did, but that he was not open to compromising on the issue one iota. To his credit, Buttigieg said that he did not want to mislead voters into thinking that things would change if he were to be elected. Basically, he told the woman that he hoped to earn her vote, even though he unequivocally supports his party's platform for taxpayer-funded abortion up to the moment of birth. He told the pro-life Democrat that even though they disagreed on this issue, he hoped they could partner on other issues. Buttigieg also couched the argument in terms of meeting the medical care needs of women, again, making use of euphemisms to hide the graphic reality of what goes on in an abortion.
Yeah, and so we get down to the crux of the matter. Pro-life Democrats have been partnering with abortion Democrats for years and years now, but without any success. The party's stance on abortion has only gotten more extreme, to the point where I don't think you can collaborate with them on other issues. Look at the Democratic presidential debates and the public appearances of the candidates. They try to outdo one another in their support for Roe v. Wade and declaring it a fundamental right. Now, remember, there are around 1 million abortions every year in the U.S. alone. 1 million unborn children are intentionally and directly killed every year from abortion, and the Democratic Party supports this full stop. Yes, it is true that in our times we have many pressing and concerning issues that vie for public policy attention, some quite serious, but abortion outranks them all. And do you know why? Because the only human being that is not protected by the laws of our country is the unborn child. Now, we may disagree on how best to help migrants and refugees, the poor and the sick, but there are no laws on the books that take away their right to life. The only category of human beings that do not have this right in our country is the unborn. They are regarded as the property of their mothers, and so if the mother decides that she wants or needs that child to be killed, it's completely legal for her to do so. This demands the highest priority for how we vote.
And let's just say that there is a vast moral difference between someone dying from the effects of a certain policy, and we need to be very careful here because oftentimes there is simply no way to know for sure if that is indeed the case, and someone being intentionally killed. We don't need to complicate this. Sound moral theologians in the church cannot think of any proportionate reasons that currently exist in our country to vote for a pro-abortion candidate. So we need to be very careful when we vote so that we are not complicit in the murder of over 1 million children every year.
And let's take the other issue that Pope Francis said should weigh heavily in our decision-making when voting, transgender issues. The Democratic Party, within the past few years, has adopted a platform that strongly backs gay marriage and LGBTQ equality, which includes transgender equality. The party specifically denounces the misuse of religion to discriminate against such people. That's code for you can't use your religion to say that marriage is between one man and one woman, nor that transgenderism is wrong. Now, of course, we know that each and every human being is loved by God, made in His image and likeness, and therefore deserves to be loved, respected, and treated compassionately and with dignity. But to call something that is black white, or to call a lie the truth, is the epitome of disregarding the dignity of the human person. It is not compassionate, and it is not love. We are called to love people to the truth, not to confirm them in their sins or to deliver them from the demands of the natural law. The Republican Party is more of a mixed bag on this issue because there are some within the party who want to push gay marriage and transgenderism. So we have to carefully review those candidates too. But, and here's the important thing, the Republican Party's platform still stands behind the traditional definition of marriage as a legal union between one man and one woman and does not promote LGBTQ equality. We need to remember this as we fill out our ballot in the primary and in the November election.
Again, let's just be brutally honest here. The Democratic Party not only endorses, but it shoves the killing of unborn children, gay marriage, and transgenderism down our throats. There is no way you can have a peaceful and prosperous country when you seek to destroy its very bedrock, marriage and the nuclear family. It is the building block of society, and if you blast that away, a country collapses. And we're seeing it go right before our eyes, which is why this Lent we should be praying much and offering up some serious sacrifices for our nation and for the upcoming elections, that righteous and holy men and women will be elected to uphold the dignity of every single person, especially the unborn, and strengthen and protect marriage and family life. Well, there is a great website called lifeontheballot.com that shows where the major presidential candidates stand on the issue of taxpayer-funded abortions, born-alive abortions, and late-term abortions. Now, the reason for the focus on the office of the President of the United States is because he is responsible for appointing Supreme Court justices, Court of Appeal judges, and district court judges. This is important because the battle for life, like it or not, is often fought in the courts. As we get closer to November's election, we'll be dedicating shows to it, and hopefully we'll have some resources to share on how you can find out a candidate's position on life and marriage issues. But right now, let's stick to the 2020 presidential candidates and where they stand. Again, this is taken from lifeontheballot.com. Bernie Sanders, first of all, he is a professed socialist. The Catholic Church condemns the harder type of socialism, which is totalitarian and atheistic. Mr. Sanders continues to vote against a bill that stops infanticide and protects babies who are born alive in a botched abortion. If elected, he said he will repeal the Hyde Amendment and have taxpayer funding of abortion. And he wants the U.S. to fund abortion in poor countries in order to avert climate catastrophe. He has evolved on the issue of gay marriage and now supports it, along with transgenderism. Mike Bloomberg had a lawsuit filed against him in 1997 by a sales executive for allegedly saying, "kill it," when she told him about her pregnancy. In 2006, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission brought a lawsuit against his company for discriminating against women after they became pregnant and took maternity leave. When he was elected mayor, one of the first things he did was to require all New York City hospitals to teach OBGYN residents how to perform abortions. Finally, he is a mega donor to Planned Parenthood, giving nearly $14 million between 2014 and 2017. Now, Joe Biden, a self-professed Catholic, stated that he can no longer support the Hyde Amendment. He has a 100% voting record from Planned Parenthood, NOW, and NARAL. We've just spent a lot of time talking about Pete Buttigieg, so we know where he stands. And both Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar are abortion supporters full throttle.
Well, if you've ever read St. Faustina's diary, you'll know how the Lord directed her to pray and sacrifice much for her native country, especially making use of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Just as she prayed for her native Poland, so too must we pray unceasingly for America. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.